During the Navi Yeshayahu, we're up to what's called the 28th chapter, the 19th Pasuk. The Navi had been describing how people say in confidence, nothing's going to happen. You're saying we're going to die. We've made a pact with death. You say we're going to perdition. Things are going to be fine there. If the whip comes to beat up, so it won't hurt us. We've made a pact with lies. We can easily get out of any situation. We know how to smooth talk our way out. And we have deals with the non-Jews. We have all kinds of friends that will hide us if a time of danger comes. And Hashem says, no, it's not. That's not what's going to happen. I'm going to establish a king in Zion who will reinstate justice. And then I will deny your covenant with death. And I will not allow you to make that pact with perdition. And I will send in that whip, and you won't be able to avoid the punishment. And here we brought different interpretations. We'll go with the interpretation that it's talking about the period that's about to follow, the period of Chizkiyahu, when Sancheriv is going to come and sweep through the land and destroy everything in sight up to Jerusalem. He will conquer all of the northern 10 tribes, exile everyone. Pasuk Yud Tet. As he passes, he will collect, he will take into captivity one after the other. Morning after morning, he will continue his advancements, and at night he won't rest. And anyone who hears what's going on and understands what's going on will be taken with fear, and the only thing they'll be able to sense is this tremendous fear of this awesome empire, the Assyrian Empire, that is swooping down on Israel. Because the bed that you lie on is too short, you won't be able to extend yourself on that bed. So the masecha, which over here can mean the masecha, could mean the rulership, the nasich. The masecha could mean a cover. The masecha could mean a molten idol. It's as though you won't be able to fit in under the covers. So, what's the Navi describing? The Navi is describing that the camps of Sancheriv will have so many people, as our tradition says, there were millions, and the land of Israel won't be big enough to house them. Like Sancheriv says, you have a river, I'll just cross that river with my armies, and there'll be no river left. It'll dry up by the feet of the hoofs of the horses that will cross over. Sancheriv came with a tremendous army, and so the Navi is describing, just like a bed that you can't fit on and a cover you can't fit under, so too the land of Israel will not be able to house the armies of Sancheriv. Just a second. Chazal gave a different interpretation to this pasuk. Chazal would cry as they read this pasuk. Chazal said, "Katzar hamatzami istarea." The bed isn't big enough to lie on. That's as though Hashem is talking about His own bed. Hashem refers to the Holy of Holies as His bed, so to speak. And Hashem says, you've brought in idols into the temple, and now there's no room for me, as though this house ain't big enough for the two of us. I can't enter the temple when you have idol worship there. And now, over here, that's what we said, the word masecha could mean the molten figure, the idol, is now tzara. Is as though another wife. It's as though you've cheated on me, Hashem says. You've taken out another wife. So how am I coming into the house? Where do I fit into the equation? You've made me second fiddle. And so Hashem says that's the root of the punishment of Sancheriv entering the land of Israel. Yes?
When you were talking about before how the armies will drive the river and there's going to be nothing left, there's a part of the Gemara that talks about how many Jews were in the land of Israel before everybody got kicked out. And it talks about the number, and then it says, like, that number is too big, and then the Gemara answers with, well, the land opens up for its people.
Yes. We saw that earlier.
does that conflict with the that the land won't open up and it will dry, everything will be dried up?
I'm unaware of that. So it's something to think about. It's interesting. I don't know. It's an interesting thought. Pasuk Chaf Aleph. Ki chehar piratzim yakum Adonai keemek begivon yirgaz. Hashem says, just like when David was fighting the Philistines, so there was one battle where David was so impressed that he was able to defeat the Philistines. So he said, he called the place Har Peratzim, the house of limitless expansion. The word paratz in modern Hebrew, lifrotz, means to break through. A breakthrough is called a pritza. Or to break into a house is called a pritza. But in Tanakh, the word pritza means to expand without limits. Hashem tells Yaakov Avinu, uparatzta, you will continuously expand to the east, to the west, etc. So, ki chehar piratzim, just like this mountain that King David named it, the mountain of expansion, because when he was so victorious, suddenly, against the Philistine, he said, paratz Hashem et oivai lefanai, Hashem allowed me to break through and continuously expand against my enemies, and so now I realize how victorious I can be over the Philistines. So he named that mountain Har Piratzim. So Hashem says, just like that mountain, Mount Piratzim, the mountain of expansion, represents a sudden great victory, so too Hashem will arise, and the question here is, will arise against who? Against the enemy or against his people? We'll see in a second. Ke'emek b'Givon, just like when Joshua had his famous battle in Givon, it was Friday afternoon, and Joshua did not want to continue the battle going into Shabbos. So he turned to the sun and said, stop! And our tradition, however, whether we take it literally or not, the sun stopped and he continued the battle for a whole day. And then the Navi describes that stones came showering from heaven, that there were still stones left over from the hails of the Makkah of Barad, and those came crashing down on our enemies during that war. The hail from the plague of Barad. It says some were left hanging in heaven. So those came crashing down on Joshua's enemies. So Hashem says, just as Emek b'Givon, just as that great war in Givon, so Hashem Yirgaz will be upset. Lasot ma'aseyu, za'al ma'aseyu. Hashem will punish in a way that's unusual. V'la'avod avodato, nochia avodato. Hashem says, I'm going to do something I don't ordinarily do. Now, some commentaries learn that this is a description of how Hashem will fight the enemies of Israel. Just as Hashem had miraculous victories, Hashem created miraculous victories on our behalf in these two junctures of Jewish history, so too we have what to expect in the future. Remember, the Navi is describing two things. He's describing a great victory for the Jewish people. There will be a king who is called the Evan Bochan. He is that firm stone that no one can move. And that's the new king that will reinstate justice. With that, the Navi is describing the great punishment for those who had mocked the words of the prophet. Now, the question is now, does this verse reconnect to the description of the salvation with the great king, which we went with the interpretation, it's Chizkiyo. Others learn it's going about the Mashiach, but we're going with the interpretation, it's Chizkiyo. And then it's a description that in Chizkiyo's time, there'll be exceptional victories. We know there was an exceptional victory. We know there was the plague that hit Sancheiriv's men at the gates of Jerusalem. The Navi says, don't mock what I'm saying. Pen yechziku mosirechem, lest your afflictions be harshened. Ki chalav nechatza shamati me'et Adonai Elohim tzivaot al kol ha'aretz. Because I hear that Hashem is bringing about terrible destruction to the land. Hazinu vishimuhu koli. Listen, hearken to my word. Hakshivu vishimuhu imrati. Pay attention and listen to what I'm telling you. Hachol hayom yacharosh achoresh lizroha. So he's going to start an allegory now. He says, does a person harvest all day long? Yefatach v'yishaded ad mato. Is he busy all day opening up his earth so that one day he might plant in that earth? Halo im shiva faneha. When a person flattens the earth, when a person stops plowing, he stops breaking up the earth, ve'efitz ketzach v'chamon yizrok, and he starts throwing different seeds into the ground, v'sam chita shora, sora usora nisman v'chusem et gevulato, and he plants different seeds in different orders, and he uses different seeds to also delineate the end of the planting. So there were seeds that they plant as a crop, and then there were plants, kusemet, which they plant around it to delineate. This is where I'm growing wheat, this is where I'm growing barley, etc. V'yisro l'mishpat Elohav yorenu. V'yisro l'mishpat. The Navi was describing this allegory. He says, just as the crops grow after you've planted them, and by the same token, V'yisro l'mishpat Elokav yorenu. Hashem taught man to behave. The word mishpat could mean injustice, but the word mishpat could also mean in a proper manner. So one understanding here is that the Navi is saying there's a way in which you treat the crops. If you want the crops to be productive, then after you harvest them, you have to clean them. And by the same token, he's going to describe how Hashem's still going to clean out the Jewish people. But I want us to pick up here next week, because we should really go with more depth. Chazal have a very important drasha on this pasuk, which will take us about 15 minutes to discuss, and the laws of Kilayim. There's a Mishnah in Kilayim and a Mishnah in Shabbos, so we have to come back to this. Instead of running through the Mashal, we'll restart the Mashal Bezanchim next week.